Our first scripture reading is from the book of Zephaniah. You'll find the reading is on page 826 in your pew Bibles if you want to follow along. Zephaniah is one of the minor prophets, and the previous chapters forecast a whole lot of doom and gloom, but in this particular reading, there's hope and joy. Begin with verse 14. Sing aloud, O daughter Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has turned away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst, and you shall fear disaster no more. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, Do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exult over you with loud singing, as on a day of festival. I will remove disaster from you so that you will not bear reproach for it. I will deal with all your oppressors at that time. And I will save the lame and gather the outcast. And I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time, I will bring you home at the time when I gather you. For I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And the second reading is from the book of Philippians, found on page 187, chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our gospel lesson today comes from Luke chapter 3, verses 7 to 18. And you can find that on page 56 in the New Testament. I will be reading from the Holman Christian Study Bible for two reasons. It's the Bible I use, and it has bigger print. While you're turning to that passage in Luke, I just want to set up a little bit what we studied last week in the lectionary. Last week, John the Baptist has started his ministry. He's his ministry of repentance of sin and baptism for the coming kingdom. And we come to this message today. So hear these words. He then said to the crowds who came out to be baptized by him, Brood of vipers, who warn you to flee from the coming wrath? Therefore, produce fruits consistent with repentance. And don't start saying to yourselves, We have Abraham as our father. For I tell you that God is able to raise up children for Abraham from these stones. Even now the axe is ready to strike the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that doesn't produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. What then shall we do? The crowds were asking him. He replied to them, The one who has two shirts must share with someone who has none, and the one who has food must do the same. Tax collectors also came to be baptized, and they asked him, Teacher, what should we do? And he told them, Don't collect any more than what you have been authorized. Some soldiers also questioned him, What should we do? He said to them, Don't take money from anyone by force or false accusation. Be satisfied with your wages. Now the people were waiting expectantly, and all of them were debating in their minds whether John might be the Messiah. John answered them all, "I will baptize you with water, but one is coming who is more powerful than I. I am not worthy to untie the straps of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing shovel is in his hand to clear his thrashing floor and gather the wheat into his barn. But the chaff he will burn up with a fire that never goes out." Then along with many other exhortations, he proclaimed good news to the people. The word of God for the people of God. So here we are. It's the third Sunday in Advent. The candle we lit today represents, in a basic way, our anticipated coming joy. But the lectionary has brought us to this passage in Luke about John's message. And let's face it, John the Baptist is an in-your-face type of guy. And looking at this message, you know, I was just like, where is the joy in this? To go along with the third week of Advent. Well, the first thing I did was I broke his message down in 6 parts. And I'm just going to quickly go over them. The first part, besides calling the people a bunch of snakes, he talks about the coming judgment. And to do good works, good acts, consistent with repentance. You know, and you can see the people. They're standing there. Their lips are quivering a little bit, you know. And he's like, don't be whining about your birthright. Your birthright doesn't mean squat. So, come on. Be repentant. Do acts that are consistent of repentance. And if you don't, into the fire you go. You know, by this time, the people are a little concerned. They're kind of looking around. They're like, what should we do? And here, number 3, John is giving his first examples, probably in the New Testament, of what is kingdom living. It just kind of goes over the people's heads. They don't really hear it. And so they start asking him, are you the Messiah? Or they start thinking that at the very least. And John's like, I'm not the Messiah. It's not about me. Someone who is much more greater than I is coming. And then he goes back to talking about the Messiah and the coming judgment. And then he finishes by proclaiming good news to the people. So, after many hours of reflected pacing on this and trying to figure out where the joy is and how to talk about this, I realized that these people did not get the concept of kingdom coming. And in their way of thinking, their Messiah would save them from their worldly situation and not their sinful nature. And human nature, the way it is, because it hasn't changed in 1,000 years, thousands and thousands of years, I started wondering, do we understand kingdom come? So these simple questions of who, what, where, why, and how kept popping up in my head while I'm reflecting, pacing back and forth, going back to the scripture, going back to all the scriptures in this week's reading, looking at it. And these questions just kept popping up. So, who are we? We are Christians, not by birth or situation, but by repenting of our sins and accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior. This makes us a citizen of the kingdom. What does this citizenship look like? By living a transformed life, not being controlled by our emotions, our circumstances, our situations, and definitely not listening to this crazy, upside-down world. It's going to lead us astray every time. Where does this kingdom take place? Or where does this kingdom, where does this kingdom take place? It takes place in our thinking, in our living. It takes place in our hearts. It takes place in our relationships, in our homes, our schools, our workplaces. It pretty much takes place everywhere. And why do we do kingdom work? Because it's not about us. It's about Jesus. And we do the work that Jesus started. We become his hands. We become his feet. We become his mouthpiece. We become the receptacle where his light shines through us. And we do this, and we keep doing this no matter what. We do this because he commands it, he wants it of us, he taught it, and we do it until he comes back again. How do we learn kingdom thinking and living? Well, the first place to start is by being in his word. Daily scripture reading, trying to understand the nature of God. By accepting and acting on its truth. And by prayer. And I like to turn back to Philippians, because I think this is a fine example of kingdom living, kingdom thinking, which, if we do these things, will produce kingdom works. And I'm going to add verse 8 to the reading. So hear these words. Rejoice in the Lord, always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your graciousness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses every thought, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, loved ones, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any moral excellence, and if there is any praise, dwell on these things. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. This, loved ones, is our joy. Amen? Amen.